corporations in the U.S. spend billions of dollars each year on recruiting staff. According to the research firm Burson by Deloitte, it costs companies an average of $4,000 to fill each open position. So what is the best way to sift through reams of resumes? And do you need some kind of algorithm or standardized test to find the best candidate for a job? Derek Thompson has been looking into this. He's senior editor at The Atlantic, and he's with us from New York, as he is each Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Jeremy.
So what actually makes a good hire from an employer's perspective?
You want to look at quality and quantity. Quality, are these workers productive on an hour-to-hour basis? Do they get a lot of work done? Do they work well with other people? But quantity matters too. Quantity as in how long do they stay? If you're a school and you hire a bunch of incredible teachers, just absolutely magnificent instructors, but they all leave after 1 year, you've created this enormous problem for yourself, where, as you just said in the opener, you have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars having to replace them every year. So you don't just want to look at what worker is going to do the best job. You want to look at what worker is going to do the best job for the longest amount of time.
So how do you do that? Because Google has famously tried to use data to predict who's going to be a good hire. What have they done? How has that worked out?
Google's really interesting. So this is a company whose acceptance rate, 0.2%, is 1/25th that of Harvard University.
Incredibly. You mean that they're only accepting 0.2% of the people who apply to Google?
That's
as
right.
Employees.
That's exactly right, which is pretty incredible. But they're really obsessed with this question. How do you hire the right worker? How do you optimize the hiring process? For a while, they were famous for these brain teasers. How many times a day does a clock's hands overlap? Or how should you charge to wash all of the windows in Seattle? Those brain teasers, it turned out, do not do a very good job at predicting anything. But in 2006, they administered a 300-question survey of employees to try to determine the perfect worker. And then this might help them determine the perfect potential worker, the perfect candidate. They asked, have you ever set a world record? Do you like to work alone or work on a team? What kind of pets do you own? So this was a high-low survey, serious questions, frivolous questions. They crunched all this data. They tried to find out this golden metric, one variable that might be the very best at predicting the perfect worker. And it turns out that that variable was absolutely nothing. So they had to go back to the drawing board and improve their processes rather than just try to isolate for one variable.
Okay, so you write in The Atlantic, and we'll post your piece at hereandnow.org, that we can learn something about hiring from sports scouting. Tell us, what does that mean? Why?
Yes, this is really one of my obsessions. I love sports. I love the question of predicting success. This is predicting talent in sports. Here's the most interesting thing that I've discovered. It's very seductive to draft the players with the gaudiest statistics. So what star young pitcher has the most wins, or what star college basketball player scored the most points? But those aren't the best questions. Wins, for example, depend on a lot of variables that a pitcher cannot control. For example, if you let up 5 runs every game, but you pitch for the best offense in the league, which scores 10 runs every game, you'll win every game, but you're not a very good pitcher. So what you want to do is find statistics that isolate talent, that isolate skill, rather than outcome. So, for example, strikeouts or walks. A strikeout or a walk depends exclusively on the pitcher's talent. It has nothing to do with how good the fielding is behind you, how many runs you score. And so this turns out to be one of the better predictive metrics of pitcher success, one of these statistics that correlates year to year. So overall, what you can learn from sports is a bit like what Google was trying to find out. How do we isolate for those metrics that are predictors of talent, not predictors or not representative of outcomes that a lot of other variables are feeding into?
Which is going to be different, though, for every position that you're hiring, depending on the field that you're in.
Absolutely. Education is a great example here, and it's one that I looked at in depth in this piece. A lot of studies in public school hiring have found, for example, that principals often hire for credentials. If you have a teacher certificate, you're more likely to be hired. Or they'll often hire for proximity. If you graduated from college in the same city that you're applying for a public school job in, you're more likely to get hired. But it turns out that credentials and proximity do not correlate with better teacher outcomes. What's more likely to correlate is some straightforward variables like college GPA, SAT scores, performance on certain public school tests, so that it's essentially tried to mimic a teacher's performance in the classroom. So the type of variables that a principal might look at, are they from this area, do they have the right certificate, turn out a bit like pitcher wins to predict something besides a success in the classroom.
That's Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, and we'd love to hear from you about hiring tips. What works best for you at your company or wherever you may work? Derek Thompson, thank you so much.
Thank you.